And now,
back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hale Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Tim Vergeese with us from Nebraska Rivals. At Tim Vergeese is where you find him on Twitter. Busy weekend recruiting-wise. Tim, it's been a busy spring for Nebraska recruiting-wise. Start there, and Rule touched on it, I think, last week when he met with the media, just kind of talking about the showcase he wants to provide. Not just your big days, your game days, or even your spring games, but Tim, pretty big emphasis on Rule to get kids in the thick of it, right? During practice time.
Yeah. You heard the comments from him about how important practice is for him and showcasing practice, and you're even seeing it in action. For example, just this week alone, John Mills and Adonis Curry. Two prospects, both out of California, that Nebraska's on. Curry's a four-star cornerback, and Mills is a three-star offensive lineman. Both of them are scheduled to be in town for the spring game, April 27th, but they both decided to come up this week to come see practice. So they spent their own money out of their own pocket, came up just 2 weeks before their official visit to come see Nebraska. That says a lot kind of about where Nebraska's priority, kind of says a lot about how those two guys feel about Nebraska, but it also says a lot about how much Nebraska is emphasizing those practices. Talking to guys, like guys that have been at practice, like Caden Vermaas, like the commits, some of the targets as well, like Bryson Hayes and some of the others, just regardless of who you talk to, like the one thing that stands out for them is the amount of reps. They're like, no one's standing around. Everyone's getting reps. They're like, the walk-ons are getting the same amount of reps as the starters. And that matters a lot. You ask guys, like one of my favorite things to do is talk to guys and figure out like what they're going through on these visits and mentally, like, what kind of boxes they're checking. The number one thing everyone's looking for is development. And everyone knows the best way to get developed is reps. And no one's getting more reps than Nebraska. Like it's Georgia, it's Bama, and then it's Nebraska. Like no one's getting reps like they are at Nebraska practices right now. And you think about the number of reps these guys are doing, and you're seeing how it's paying off for, they talked about it this week with the quarterbacks, Dylan and Daniel are calling their own checks at the line and like flipping protections and things. That just comes with time and experience and knowledge of the playbook. And those two are doing it as true freshmen in their first spring on campus.
It's Tim Vergeese with us here on Hale Varsity Radio talking some recruiting. Nebraska having people visiting campus for practice this weekend, coming up for the spring game as well. And Tim, as we take a look at some of these guys that are getting a chance to see practice, that's a lot of guys in the 500-mile radius, the 300-mile radius, guys within the state of Nebraska. Take me through a couple of those guys. I know you got a chance to see Pierce Mooberry last weekend. You also have Christian Jones, his recruitment's heating up. Chase Lofton's the tight end from Millard South, that his recruitment's beginning to heat up as well ahead of his senior year. Take me through a couple of the in-state guys that you like and a couple of guys that you think have a big couple of weeks coming up in terms of recruiting.
Yeah, so obviously Nebraska's got three commits right now in the class, all in-state, and they're still after a couple more in-state guys. Christian Jones is probably the number one. I answered it in a mailbag this week. Christian Jones, probably the number one must-get target. That's a top 60 guy in the country per Rivals, a top five linebacker in the country, and a guy that, at least from the rankings perspective, Nebraska can't really afford to miss on. You can't let a guy of this caliber with this level of athleticism leave the state. Nebraska's done a good job there, but they're battling, some top schools. USC had him on campus recently. They kind of impressed him. Obviously, there's a new defensive coaching staff over there. The academic opportunities at USC, plus just the getting to sit down with some of the defensive staff, kind of opened his eyes to some of the opportunities out there. I will say a positive for Nebraska there. Notre Dame is kind of seen as the biggest threat to the Huskers in this recruitment. And they are fading just in terms of talking to him and kind of the way he's talking about the schools in it for him right now. Notre Dame seems to be fading a little bit, which does bode well for the Huskers. This is far from done. I mean, Tennessee's in there, a couple other national SEC programs in there too, all trying to, work in there. Wisconsin, a couple others trying to work in there. That's a situation with Jones, but ultimately I think Nebraska has a good shot of, winning out there, just him being a regional prospect at a position of need, Rob Dvorak's done a really good job just establishing and maintaining that relationship. You know, you want to get him back on campus a couple times this spring and summer, but you know, I feel good about where Nebraska is. It just kind of depends on, you know, his timeline and ultimately what he's looking for. Chase Lofton, that's another one kind of exploding into a national recruit. He's in Florida this weekend. He's at Florida State today, I believe, and then Miami tomorrow. And then he'll fly back to Lincoln. I'm catching up with him to just recap this big stretch of visits for him. He's turned into a bit of a national recruit as well. Ever since Colin Klein, former Kansas State quarterback and Kansas State offense coordinator, is now the offense coordinator at Texas A&M. He's made him a priority since getting to College Station. They had him down in town last weekend, and you know, they made a pretty big impact over there. So a couple of those programs kind of working for him as well. That's another one. You know, Nebraska's actually got two in-state tight ends they're working on. They're working on him, and they're working on Reeman Zebert from and Reeman was in town this past weekend, or this past week, actually yesterday. And that's a guy that, you know, I went back and was watching the film a little bit these last 2 weeks. And, you know, Chase is the guy that everyone knows, and Chase is kind of like the national prospect. But, man, Nebraska's kind of made a known to Reeman, like, hey, we want you. We like, you know, you're like, you've got a committable offer. Like, and then he's planning to return for an OV in the summer. He's got planning to probably come back for the spring game as well. So multiple visits for him lined up. He's a guy that's more of a developmental tight end compared to Chase. Chase is kind of, you know, closer to being ready to play at the D1 level than Reeman is. Reeman's going to need a year and a half in the weight room or so. But both those guys really talented. And I think Reeman's a guy that you're going to see kind of earn some buzz just these next couple of months as people kind of realize what he can be.
Tim Verghese with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. Tim, of course, with Nebraska Rivals at Tim Verghese. Give him a follow for all your recruiting needs on Twitter. You look at just the number of in-state prospects that's continued to grow, Tim, in the state of Nebraska, and it's been the state border is well, invisible. It's not that Nebraska under rule has not made it the priority. They have, and they've won a lot of those battles, but this Nebraska staff doesn't take the Nebraska kids for granted, and we're seeing a generation of Nebraska in-state standouts that haven't seen Nebraska at their peak. How big a battle is that for Rule? What's to come, not just selling the hope, but his vision, and I think he does a great job of communicating that, but just your feel overall, how many of these in-state kids dream of going to Nebraska?
I think it's still like a dream for a lot of guys, especially, you know, you're starting to see it too with some of the young guys that are coming up. I mean, like they've got offers to 3 26 and 27 prospects out in Omaha Central. And pretty much every time we've been at practice these last couple of weeks, I'm seeing an Omaha Central staffer or an Omaha Central player walking out of practice. Like they offered 2027 running back Kylan Haney a couple of weeks ago, and he's been at practice at least once a week. And he's going to be on campus twice this week alone, but he's been on campus pretty much once a week since spring started. And it's a short trip for him, and Nebraska's kind of made it clear he's a priority. You know, I think Nebraska still means a lot. It's still home for a lot of these guys. You know, it maybe doesn't mean what it probably used to like 20 years ago, but it's still a factor for them. Again, like you're saying, like schools aren't afraid to come into Nebraska necessarily and offer guys because they think they'll have a chance. You know, like even guys right on the border, Kansas and Kansas State, they're in the state pretty frequently, you know, offering guys and trying to establish a presence down here. You're going to see more. I'll say this, you know, just from when I was covering the program as an intern when I was in college to where, you know, going out to Warren Academy and going out to some of these high schools and just seeing the talent that's coming up. The other part of this, too, is the talent in the state right now is better than it was like 5 years ago. And it's only going to keep getting better. 27, 28, 29 classes. It's guys coming up. It's multiple. Like, I think there's a chance Nebraska might not have to go out of state for a quarterback for the next couple of cycles if they really don't want to. You know, you're looking in 2026, you've got Will Anderson coming up at Bellevue West. That's a guy, and a couple others too in 26 that at the quarterback position. 2027, you've got Braylon Warren, the son of Steve Warren, who founded Warren Academy, of course. He's going to be the starter at Westside this fall. He's competing for the job at Westside and, you know, has a very good chance to be the guy there. But both those guys have traits to be D1 level quarterbacks, you know. And so, you know, like a couple of years ago, it would have been almost unheard of for Nebraska to not go out of state for like 3-4 straight cycles for a quarterback. That might be reality. You know, like we might look at this 5-6 years down the line, look back and be like, man, Nebraska 3 straight years just landed an in-state quarterback and just kept that train rolling.
Jackson Carpenter, how thick is the battle between Nebraska and Kansas? I know North Dakota State. Where are things with Jackson?
That one's interesting. That one is interesting because Kansas and Nebraska are actually locked into a recruiting battle for Carpenter and Bryson Hayes, the speedy receiver out of Mays, Kansas. You know, Hayes was back on campus 2 weeks ago. Carpenter was back on campus this past week, and Carpenter's scheduled to return for an official visit now in June after this last visit went well. That one, I'll be honest, the one question for me there that I'm waiting to see is between those two guys, is that a who takes the spot first type situation at Nebraska, or is that a we're going to take both of these guys type situation? Because I've heard positive things in Nebraska's favor in both recruitments. You know, I think both of them are closing in on decisions within the coming weeks and months and are kind of getting closer to, I'd say for both of them, by far and away, the top two programs in both recruitments are Nebraska and Kansas. And so ultimately, I feel like it'll just come down to whichever commits first, we'll get a feel from there kind of how much Nebraska's talking to the other one and, you know, whether Kansas picks up the pursuit of the other one. Or, you know, maybe they just take both. That's one that's a little unclear right now just because of where the wide receiver, they don't have a single wide receiver commit right now. Hayes is the number one, like, slot target. Carpenter's taller than Hayes, similar speed. They envision him to play a similar role in the offense. But outside of those two guys, you look at the receiver board, they're really in it for like a bunch of like 6'3", 6'4", like bigger receivers. And talking to, you know, just sources and people around, and you just look at the offer list as well, they're trying to get bigger and faster at the position. So they're not going to take a whole lot of these like small shifty guys anymore. They're looking for speed. And they're looking for size because at the Big Ten level, you're dealing with all these bigger cornerbacks, these bigger DBs, and this more physical style of play where, like, they need wide receivers that have the size to be able to block.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Tim Verghese with us here on Hail Varsity Radio talking some recruiting thoughts. And, Tim, before we get you out, I'm going to shift gears from recruiting and ask you about the Masters. Are you following anyone this weekend? Do you have any bets down at the War Horse? What's the game plan for Tim in the Masters this weekend? Are you more of a UFC guy? Tell me about the upcoming weekend here.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think definitely more of a UFC guy. I think I'll have the Masters on, you know, in the background. For me, it's always been just like background. I'm not rooting for anybody, but it's always just been like something to have on in the background. Definitely more of a UFC guy this weekend, rooting for my guy Pereira and, you know, Got a lot happening this weekend. I'm a big in UFC. I'm a big Izzy guy, so the Izzy Pereira fight was, you know, interesting for me. But outside of that, you know, just tuned in to definitely tomorrow for the UFC stuff. But outside of that, man, I'm kind of taking it a bit slower this weekend for sure. Kind of enjoying the slow weekend.
Which current Husker do you think would stand the best chance in the octagon, MMA, UFC? Which one do you think's got a future there?
Ooh, that's a good one. I like Malachi just because of the reach and the athleticism.
Yep.
I like him there. I'm trying to think, is there a linebacker? I feel like Prince Will.
Yeah.
Prince Will, just like a twitchy, lengthy edge rusher. Like, you know, I feel like he'd have some success there. He's also got, you know, like that mean streak to him. You know, he's a little feisty.
Polar Bear. Polar Bear making the transition from wrestling to the octagon. Wouldn't he kill people?
Yes, yeah, of course.
Polar Bear versus John Jones would be one for the ages.
I'd have to see how he strikes and how he works, you know, like, you know,
he just choke you out, man. Well, good. Tim, you have a good weekend. Appreciate the recruiting update. Tim Verghese with Nebraska Rivals. And check him out on Twitter and check him out with Rivals. Thanks again. Good to hear from Tim. We are winding down a Friday. Todd emails in. I could totally do the nine dog, nine inning, nine beer challenge. Just wondering if his backside could hold up.
Yes, that's the thing. Is you on its face, you go, how bad could it be? And there's the time restraints and then the effects it'll have on your gut the rest of the night. Mm-hmm. This is not a challenge for the week.
Let us go to Clausburg. Let's do a little music here. We don't really have any forecasting other than some thoughts and comments here. We'll forecast a little bit of Masters. We welcome in. He's imaginary. He wears red. The infamous Clausburg. Claus, how's your weekend? Thanks for spending some time with us.
Well, I'm looking forward to a nice, relaxing weekend. I think I might be able to get out and do a little fishing. And unfortunately, we've got some duties ahead of that, and that's why I'm here. But I'll be on the lake before long.
Claus, a lot going on this week. Are you going to put on or trade in that red jacket for a green jacket Sunday? Who's got your attention in Augusta?
Well, I'll be honest, so far I haven't been able to watch a whole lot of the tournament. I caught a little bit of the highlights last night, and my only takeaway from that is I think Tiger Woods might be on the Barry Bonds plan.
Oh, wow.
I think he might have walked away from Nike because they couldn't afford to make hats big enough for him. But then again, I talked to some local duffers, and they say that the only performance enhancer you really need in golf is Michelob Ultra, so...
Vodka lemonades, too.
They refer to it as aiming fluid, so I'll take their word for it.
Aiming juice is big. Claus, how about you, though, when we get to the nine-dog, nine-beer, nine-inning challenge? Would you be up for it?
Well, of all the former big figures in Nebraska sports history, I think we all know the only one who could take that down would be Bob Devaney, possibly Connie Yori, but definitely not me. If I attempted it, I'd be more delirious than Conan O'Brien at the end of Hot Ones on yesterday's episode. So
that was rough.
I don't think we really need to try that.
How would Carl fare at nine beers, nine dogs, nine innings?
He'd have it done before they played the national anthem, so...
Claus, we appreciate your input and spending time with you on a Friday forecast. Did you have OJ passing away in April forecasted?
Well, I certainly didn't. And, of course, that was shocking news to everybody that he finally passed away yesterday, or I guess pancreatic cancer finally found the real killer.
Jesus. You're not wrong.
I had heard the announcement said that he was surrounded by his friends and family. And, of course, I also heard that his old friend, Al Cowlings, wanted to help out the family. So he called him up and offered the insight that he already knew how to drive him around slowly in the back of a car. So,
oh, whoa.
One less thing.
Oh, I got the procession all handled.
But I also read somewhere that OJ might possibly be able to come back if the casket doesn't fit in the hole in the ground, so I guess we probably better wait a few days.
That is the rumor.
Oh, man.
AC is the funeral procession.
What? Here I was thinking that we needed to have Norm MacDonald on a day like yesterday. We just
absolutely
needed Claus.
Always need Norm.
We just needed Claus.
Claus, you okay?
Oh.
Phone there, you know, from Clausburn there. You know, he doesn't know how to run, you know. And, you know, so I took it there. But yesterday, the best day of my death.
A Norm MacDonald impression too.
Yeah, we got Norm on the phone.
He's imaginary.
Sorry about that. We've got some house guests for the weekend that are a little bit uncouth, so I apologize.
I like
the
that.
Multi-talented facet of Klausburn. We haven't heard that before.
Good work. Klaus, what do you got going this weekend before we say goodbye?
Well, as I mentioned, I'm going to try to hit the lake. I've decided to take the sleigh down to Texas this weekend and take in a NASCAR race. And I view that kind of like most people view going to the zoo. I'm just going to see who throws feces around first.
Yes.
It's kind of like going to the zoo.
Seriously, you throw his feces around first. That is, I like NASCAR, Klaus. You didn't do that.
Oh, man.
Klaus, you duck and cover, okay?
I always do, Christopher. I always do.
Oh, Klaus, you take care. We appreciate you.
Okay.
There he goes. Klaus.
We don't deserve him.
No,
off,
we don't.
Off to NASCAR. That's so good.
I do want. I want
to
see.
Kind of like going to the zoo.
I want to see a NASCAR race bad, but Klaus may have persuaded me out of it. I wanted to go see NASCAR in Chicago.
Oh, that's funny. We will wind down to Friday. Tail Varsity, and we're powered by Cornhead Lager.